Pinewood Cruisers.
Now, what's that woman's name?
Doris Lewis, huh?
Kissimmee Island, Pinewood Cruisers.
Yeah.
Pretty fat book.
Yeah.
Pictures and
everything. Yeah, pictures in there. Let's see. There's me when I was a baby. That's my mother. Yeah. That's my father.
Well, I'm the dog.
That's me today. That's my graduating class 60 years ago.
Yeah.
That's my mother. That's three children when we're little. I'm the only one living. They're all gone. This is my sister, and that's my brother there.
Yeah. Well, I'll be dog.
And I got a couple more pictures here. One's on a horse, one was two more cowboys, but they, I don't just what page on. I can find them right quick. See the old cow people.
Right. Well, you know, there are a lot of things that cowmen do in this part of the country they don't do other places.
I tell you, there's no history of a lot of things. This woman has gone out of oil. Well, I was trying to put out this book. This is the third issue, and she's working on the fourth one.
Say that's a good one, then. And then, of course, that Joe Ackerman book, and then George Dacey.
Yeah.
Four generations of Florida.
Right. This show was about 40 years old. It's been.
Yeah.
Copyrighted in
1940.
40, yeah.
Well, tell me about some of the old practices that are no longer done just as it started.
Well, it's all modernized now. It's modernized. It's not like it used to be at all.
Yeah.
Yes, it used to. You count trout, carry your provision with oxen and wagon, and it's just altogether different.
Now, I know.
Modernized.
Out at the El Maximo Ranch. Now, you were foreman out there for.
I started with the 3rd day of April, 1938. Went for the 2nd day of June, 72.
Good Lord.
I see right there.
Yeah. Well, now they still have cow camps. They got the 7-mile camp.
Yeah, 7-mile,
And of course that gooseneck trailer, I guess, that's had a lot to do with changing people staying out overnight, hasn't it?
Well, they took that trailer and come haul the horses in at night. But used to, we'd go out and stay till the finish. Well, I tell you, back in the old days, I worked for Lax Brothers 12 years down that big Cypress country, Blue Mopley in that country.
Yeah.
And that was sure enough work back then.
Hmm.
All transportation had an oxen and wagon to start with, and they got one drive trucks.
Yeah.
But we camped out then, sure enough.
What about using dogs?
Well, they're all right in bad places, but out in open country, they're a nuisance.
Why?
Well, the cows all the time are chasing them, so that you can have a cow in the open country, but swampy country where you need the dogs, where you hold them in a bunch and do something with them.
So you can hold them in a bunch, that's what you want the dogs for.
Yeah, and out in open country, why? I never did use them.
Now, what about the whips?
Well, that was back in the old days, and just according to who had them. Back in the old days, they were a bad nuisance. Because you'd pop a whip and cow the hill 3 or 4 miles and you wouldn't see them no more. They'd go clean out of the country, hide, run.
Yeah.
Yeah. And when you worked them, you wanted to work with the wind so they wouldn't smell you. You got up close enough, you could stop them, get around. The wind had a lot. They'd travel all the way to work with into the wind. So the wind would be coming off the cows on us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, when did whips start getting more popular then?
Well, back when I was young, it was popular, but they deteriorated with the improvement of things.
I see.
I doubt if you find them out of a whip anywhere now.
No, they still use them.
Yeah.
All those guys at Bill Keene's, they all had whips on their saddles. And there's a boy out there working at the El Maximo, Wayne McQuaig.
Yeah.
You know young Wayne?
I know him, I see him, but I'm not acquainted with him.
He's been making whips. He seems to be a good young fella coming, and he likes the old-time ways of doing things.
Yeah.
Another thing some people have told me about, and I've never seen, is a buzzard trap.
Well, make them look like you trap in the other kind of quarter or anything, or make them big so a buzzard to go in there, make a funnel out there, and if that funnel to get out there, keep walking around.
All right.
Yeah.
I've heard of them where you cut a hole in the top, and they'll get up on there and then hop down in after.
Well, I don't know about that. You make a funnel there and put some dead animal in there, and, we used to do alligators sometimes, back when they skin alligators, and anything.
Sure.
Yeah. But I tell you, when you sell them, if it lasts a hog, the hogs come down, get rooting around, tear up the trap.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Why did you want to trap the buzzards?
Well, I thought bad about killing the wrong sheep at Max's.
All right.
And they'll kill a wrong calf too if the cow won't fire them. But I thought used to a sheep blind in this time, how well we got by. Well, at night, you can probably smell it off the daylight come, but...
Yeah.
But them birds, they're very destructive on sheep.
So there's sheep out there too, then?
Yeah, they got... They used to have a lot of them. They got about 900 now, I think, but we had 3,000 there one time when we sold out and built by.
Now, what did you do with the sheep? Was it for the wool or for the meat?
Both. Yeah. A good store for the lambs over to the beach at Tarpon Springs.
Yeah.
Very few sheep in this country, and the good soil for lambs in this country. And then we'll share them all well too.
Who did the sharing?
Well, we bought a while, the cowboys, but finally, last slow road, half a mile, he comes here and shares them. He lined up from, he comes here and starts about the 20th of April, and he lined up all the way back to Iowa, shared all the way back to the states, the highway.
Yeah.
Well, he showed his little herds around here. And he first moved around here to Port Mafka, that place, and starts. Then he come back to Max's and right on there.
Yeah. So. Well, I forgot to ask out there, what is the brand and the mark for the El Maximo?
Well, mark the wool and brand them on the side around here.
On the right hip.
Yeah.
What is the brand?
Hmm?
What is it? I got a...
Yeah, well...
Here you go, draw on this if you want.
They're running up a Square & Trail Corporation brand.
Say what?
That's the corporation's brand.
Okay.
And when I left there, there was 8 grandchildren had cattle beside the corporation. But they bought out one family, so now only Pat's children. I don't know whether they still have the brand or not. I just don't know.
I reckon they do.
I mean, I left in 1962. They formed the corporation in 1963.
Uh-huh.
Well, now his wife and the 2 girls each had a brand up to them.
Yeah.
They formed the corporation. And then these grandchildren would come along. Pat had 5 children, we all had cattle. Well, when I left there, we had 35% of the cattle, the grandchildren did.
Yeah.
But I don't know what I knew they brought out the other girl, and she don't have any stock in the ranch anymore. She don't have much interest in the grove, but she don't have any. Pat Wilson's family, and those backs are the only ones owning the ranch now.
Yeah, I guess that's Coot. There's one out there now.
Well, he's the oldest one of Pat's children.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, what would you call that mark?
Upper square in each ear.
Upper square in each
ear? Yeah. And Coots. Oh, here's Mark Byrne. The old baby saw a fork on the slope.
Say that again.
The old baby.
Yeah.
The old baby. And there you go. Saw a fork on the slope.
Okay. Saw a fork on the slope.
And when I went there, we had the one brand, the one mark.
Good God.
A crop bull, I don't know. One, on account of income tax purposes, no maxi acquired the mark and brand, and all the children acquired one. And
now, what did you call that? Mark?
Crop bull.
Say it again.
Crop bull, a bull in the wood. What crop bull?
How you spell that?
B-O-L-T.
Bolt.
Yeah, bolt, yeah, yeah.
Crop bolt.
Yeah.
Now this is the corporations. The first one's the corporations. The second one is
Who's left?
And that's
the old. And now I'm left. They're all gone now.
That's when you started.
Yeah, and I started. Yeah.
Now when y'all brand and mark, you go out and do it out wherever the cattle are, I reckon.
No, we take it. We come to the pen. We have pen them now.
Out at where are the pens? There's one going out to the ranch.
Well, have one out the ranch. Back then, have one at 7 Mile. One over to Peavine. No matter how white folks run, I ain't chance to be. But they still out that Fort Grand territory, or the lines go down now. Mm-hmm. And chance to be, they still on it, but then they got a place in Manatee County. Too.
Well, tell me something about yourself.
Well, I really was old 17th of last September.
I'll be.
Yeah.
Well, I never said it on the tape, but I'm talking to Douglas Thompson.
That's right.
And I'm in Frost-Free.
Yeah.
Frost-Proof. I did Frost-Free.
Yeah.
And you were the foreman out there for, you told me, a long time out at the El
Paso. Yeah, all the time I was there, yeah. Hey, you know, look, it's got like, you know, about the old child people here, around the world. This Brad Landingham, he's offspring of the sure enough first child people in this country. They were Captain Pierce, and
yeah.
There's Tom Daltrey, he's one of the first ones. And there's William Alderman, he's one of the first ones.
Yeah.
There's Captain Johnson Steamboat. I've been up the river on that boat when I was little.
What are some of the, you know, rodeo's popular now. What are some of the things y'all used to do that were like rodeo events? Did y'all used to ride bulls for?
No, sir.
Y'all
no,
didn't mess with that stuff?
No, sir. We didn't mess with that stuff. No,
sir. You ever do roping and stuff, see who could rope the best or anything?
No,
like
not that. Because that's punishing the cattle, and we didn't do that.
Right. Okay. I guess y'all do work with ropes. Do you? How do you rope a? Why would you rope a? If you got pins, why would you want to rope a cow?
You asked a good question, though. You don't need any at all.
Okay. So are you going to brand them or mark them, you just put them in the pen?
Put them in the pen, and now we used to catch them by hand, and throw them down here and by hand on the ground, but now when they got a chute to put them in, flip them up.
To cut them?
Cut them up, mark them, plaster with them, brand them, give them a shot.
Yeah.
The whole thing. They got you.
Well. Well, let's see, what else did I want to... Who are some other people around that one of the things we're doing up at White Springs, we want to bring some people up there in May to a big festival we're having where we're going to try to highlight traditional Florida ranching.
Mm-hmm.
And you're one person I'd like to maybe talk to sometime in the future. I can't, you know, yeah. Not coming up there, you know, yeah. Want me to come, mm-hmm. And things like that. I'm thinking about asking Wayne McQuaig to come up there, young mm-hmm. man. And who are some other people?
Sam Keene out here, if you still live in Louisville, Louisville.
Sam Keene.
Yeah, he came to this country in 1904 when the snow went some around. There were a lot about it in that book there.
Okay. Where can I buy this book, you reckon? Is it for sale in this town?
Yeah, it was right there.
Right in the middle?
Yeah.
I'll be.
These two brothers are Berners, these two are brothers. That's a Cole, these two are Preskers, and this is me.
Good Lord.
Yeah, that's just a recent picture.
Yeah.
That one put down my whiskey, but they're all sold out now. There ain't no open bar one now. They're all sold out. She's putting out another whiskey.
Yeah.
But it's...
Where does she live?
In Hatchley Hall. Down from Haines City and on the Oaks and Lake Hatchley Hall.
Hatchley Hall.
H-A-T-S. It's H-A-T-C-H.
All
right. N-A-H-A. H-A-T-N-I-C-H-I-L-N-A. Doris Lewis. But she gets a mail here in the city now. It's on a route.
All right. I might just go see her. She might have a copy or something in her house that I can get.
She's got boxes of pictures and things in here. And,
yeah.
And let's see. There was a mother-in-law. She was 101 years old now. She got most of the information. Jill Wang was born August 5th, 1882 in Fort Meade. She's the daughter of John Burke and Carolyn William Adams. Sweet Mary, Madison Winfield, Bob Lewis, and Marcia Tatu at Green Park on North of Casino Road, on the mouth of Casino Road. Without her, we would not have Casino Island Pine Road Jewelry.
Oh.
But she's blind, blind beef now, and that will go any minute.
Yeah. When you were ranching, when you first started out, when I went out to these cow camps, how long would you stay?
Just because of what we had to do till we finished.
Yeah.
Yeah. Johnny back in those days, when there was no pasture or anything, started about the middle of April and worked right on through we got through.
Yeah. How many head are there out there now, you reckon?
I'll try when I went live on that Max's ranch. But in 1961, it was 29,000. We inventoried them, but I don't have no idea now.
Yeah.
No, sir.
How did those camps look when you was young?
But those are all you now. Same one.
Golly.
Yes, sir. Yes,
100-year-old.
101, 50 rows. Yes. Huh?
She's still alive?
Yeah, still alive, but she won't be my mom every day. About just 2-3-4 days ago.
Yeah.
And then told her she didn't have any more books. There she is.
Oh, boy.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yeah.
How did the camps look?
Well, it used to be just, when I worked for Max in that big Cypress country, we didn't have but one shelter. Just camped out, had a tent, and camped, had some pens, and no hold up place.
How did they look when you, time you left Max's place?
Well, I told him I was old man, and he wouldn't change well enough because he was out in the plane, you see.
That's that old time one?
That old time one, yes, sir. Yes, sir. But, there wasn't a lot of pasture out there,
Well, another thing I'm curious about is, when did those Brahma bulls and stuff come in this country?
Well, about, it became popular in the 20s. Also, from about 1910 on, they brought meat in this country. Yeah.
And what's that other kind of something? What do you
call it?
Cemetery.
That's come in since I left that ranch, and I don't, all I know is what I see in the magazines and that bottom. I couldn't get any.
Okay, but they've been crossing with the Brahmins.
Yeah, they're crossing the world. In my opinion, Charlotte was the best cross to ever cross since it. They have the Brahma cross cattle in this country. When we got the Charlotte blood, that's what made the Brahma. When I worked with Mr. Maxey, he was in the steel business. And we never sold a whole bunch of about 1,000 pounds to we got Charlotte blood into it. And he looked that way much younger.
Yeah.
He got Charlotte into it. And the good beagles, I mean, the good last of work.
Yeah.
And good out. How easy.
Well, I've always heard the Brahmins are supposed to be pretty mean, pretty rough.
Well, that's why we were having many travel wars because we're blind and we take our English and help them. Hot bull horse was putting them in the pine wood and we just couldn't go.
Because they're not going,
they're just going to sell. They're going to sure.
Well, when you was first working out there, where did you take them to sell?
Well, the Maxes?
Yeah.
Well, most of them went to Miami. Some of them went to Tampa. The buyer would come down. He was in the steel business. He wasn't doing selling cars. He was in the steel business. Yeah.
So they'd come out to him?
They'd come out to him. Well, we'd sell them out to him. We'd have our fattening place in Chancellor Bay. Then we got the fattening place down in Fort Grand. We had the fattening place. And then we bought some and had another fattening place.
How old were they when they sold?
Well, back when we were about to five years old, but when we got improved pasture and all, and the cattle got younger.
Makes sense.
Probably 3 years old.
Yeah. Makes sense.
Yeah.
You might have an address in this book. I was thinking about that.
No, I don't know about it.
No, I don't see no address in there. Mm-hmm.
How about
what's one of the other biggest things that's changed since you started in the cattle business?
Well, the biggest thing happened was getting over ticks first thing, fever ticks.
Was they bad?
Well, it won't kill them, really. And you go up to a bug and run on fever ticks around, it won't kill them.
Why don't they hurt that bomb?
We will, help the bomb or something like that.
What did you do back then to handle ticks?
It wouldn't do nothing about, when after about where the ticks were, well, I told you, you take a tie, well, time to take fever, and some of North Carolina, and blow some blood out of them, and knock it over. I don't know how we put rice one time, have some good black on this cattle, and we want the old bull run down around here. And they took a cow, went through the ticks, and saw up the old rat, and that's where one bull and we bowed.
Good.
Yeah, I took fever and bowed plain.
Well, I know nowadays, when I was out at Bill Green's, what they were doing, whenever they get cattle in the pen, for whatever reason, they just got spraying just all the time.
Well,
little mice.
You like to buy some dipping bow and spray them, but spray them right quick when you spray a big bunch of them and lick them.
Yeah.
But those work nine flies in the ice.
Horn
flies, yeah.
What do they do?
You just go out and suck the blood and go on and
yeah.
Roll over the fly and you stop by them, but the cow was still popping the tail, you were playing with our own cow and back up on the shoulder, a little black fly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you ever make whips or rope or anything?
No, I never did. No.
When you use a whip, do you use the whip to control the steers or to control the dogs or both?
Well, most I would. I remember moving around with hounding the bulls. You'd knock the bull up and I'd step on 4 or 5 rows on the horse and I'd use a whip then. Most I ever used it.
So the bulls would want to be getting fighting or something?
No, they wouldn't fight, but you were just making moves out of the way.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. How long a whip did you work?
About 10 foot. Some people have them 12 or 14, but I never did.
Yeah.
And I tell you, he's turning around on the horse, the bad thing about getting lost. He's dropping the first thing in the room.
He's just disappearing.
Then he'll drop off the horse and then he couldn't find it.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you about that little fellow went over one time. And I tried about trying to see about the top of it and then I all tried out of the country. We couldn't know. That was down in the blood in that country, back in the mountain fences and nothing in there. He had a top that whip the whole time. Swerved the tire.
I bet.
Yeah.
Let me think what else I need to talk to you about. I'm no rancher, you know that.
Western
North Carolina?
Yeah. It's over. The number one ranch, the Ivan Crow, right? No ranch, the number one ranch in Oklahoma.
Yeah.
The Ivan Crow, right?
I see.
Yeah.
Well, that's Maxie Ranch. It's pretty big. What's it, 100,000+ acres?
Well, one time about 163,000 acres, but they sold off a lot of it. Down there, there's the farm and the cowman and the cowman sold it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, there's some working ranch common that'd be good to that still know how to do the old ways of doing things.
Well, it's just fine now, though.
Where is he?
You know, going out road six-mile road, well, it's about 5 pounds.
Yeah.
Right down the road, bro, we saw some horses on the left, about 1/2 mile down there. That's where he keeps him. He lives in Oldham Park. But he's got to keep the man's clothes out all the time, works for him, and keeps his horses on, and he's on most of the day.
Yeah.
He can tell you about the old lady.
What was his name?
Sam Logan. Sam Logan is the world.
Sam Logan.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And Trying to see my old Joe Miller because he wore a funny line. He got a little part right there, but he was in bad shape. Mm-hmm. I just think there's somebody behind me.
Now, one thing I got thinking about the other day was saddles.
Yeah.
What kind of saddle is the best to wear? Do you want a deep seat saddle?
Oh, that's a low seat saddle.
You mean low
in
the nostril, just not very high.
Not very high on the channel, low on the channel.
Alright, now what do you call the back part of a saddle that slopes up? Has that got a name?
The camel's what's up front where the horn is, isn't it?
I don't know. I believe the channel goes so long.
I reckon.
Yeah. And I don't know about the low horn, too. I don't know how high horn or so. But the horse goes down, I think about 2 years.
Now, what about if you had to rope a cow? Did you want to hold him fast?
Yeah, I want to rope cowboy horn saddle if I rope one.
You wouldn't want where you could play it out?
No. Well, I wouldn't. I would have to run into a cowboy horn. Not on the saddle.
Yeah.
Then they find out and get a little rope and go on the top or something.
Yeah. What do you call that? You call that, they got a name?
Well, when you hold it in the hand, you wrap around the whole hand, call that Balian.
Yeah. What do you call it when you do it?
Well, I don't know what to call it. I'm just going over.
Yeah.
I told old Rafferty things about road rules and trying to rope in and all that stuff that I know we're going for because I've been working in the hard way.
Yeah. Well, that makes sense, you know. You don't want to get busted up when you can't work.
That's right, yes, sir. Yes, sir.
How many horses would one camel have?
Well, he should have about two. That's one of the little ride one a week, what's another week?
What would happen if you only had one?
Then you just fall apart, you wouldn't have no way to go.
You'd just be worn.
Yeah, okay. Just find out how we need. But the back of the road, we didn't even have, you know, out there. When it comes time of an out and then around something, you're out there down the road, you probably get through one. You really don't know so hard.
What about cutting? You know, putting a steer out for others. Do you do that with horses?
Yeah, I've done a lot of that with a lot of that. We used to do that with what we bought a lot of it.
How would you do that? Describe how that works.
Well, you know, you run a house, some of them flatten out around, some of them even around it, and how long you can do it a lot of it.
But you have to use a whip?
No.
Just the horse?
No, you wouldn't get close enough to whip you. A whole lot like that, if you have somebody move up to the door, turn them up to the door or something. Help you to get this line out of the bunch and keep it out.
Yeah. How would the two work together?
Well, just go in the bunch and get the car in the line there. And the horse, if a strong enough good horse, will run out quick which one you have to. Just strong enough to roll and keep going about and keep that one out.
Right.
And then we'll do something else like that little cover out and drop.
Okay.
That was done a lot of that one work for life since we're on big steel. So I'm not so big with the road. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I tell the house when a cow out there up and get anything.
What do you mean?
Well, you can take one and place the cow out there and go back to a 5 yards from there on, and he'll still go up, and then they'll let you come. I've seen that fly.
Well, they're smarter than the human credit.
Yes, sir. They're smarter than the human credit for it. Well, go back and look, well, I've seen that happen. Some of them had a cow and traveled in the car one time and shipped a lot of them out west. And some of them couldn't ship them and lost four of them was. 5 years later, Taco Bell was selling out some cow and they picked up all them steel and brought them home. If we're getting up that close to where we're at, I've seen five worlds of water, we must have been coming out up north. We've been away from our five worlds, probably 75 miles from us. So who knew where we're getting back to?
Yeah.
That's it. Yeah. We're off the world.
Well, what's happening to the ranching today? What's about happening in the future?
I don't know what's about happening in the future, but I told you, it's not a poor proposition now. Taxes is too high, and labor's too high, so now, but if you have about something else, and you're going to put, you come and talk about me a little bit by and by, and get into it about what I'm doing.
Yeah, well, God land so high.
But that natural line now, if I have enough land, 4 or 6 cents an acre, some of it. And off a mile and a half acre, 3 miles and a half acre. And, now, I don't know we can buy for less than 800, you know, the acres. You buy it, we're going to sell it. Yeah.
Now, that Wayne McQuaig was telling me about those Mormons. What about them?
Well, they're good business people. I don't know too much about them. Before I left that ranch, I had a quarrel with some of them. They're good people, sure enough, good people.
Now, he said they really like to ride and rodeo and stuff a lot.
Well, I think he's wrong right there. We'll have a little rodeo, I think, and a big barbecue or something, but as far as going for the sport, I don't think they do, because they're just not that kind of people.
Yeah.
They're business people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How big an outfit they got?
I just don't know. They got lots of territory and lots of cattle.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just imagine, Lax might have more cattle than they got, but I doubt it. I don't know for sure.
Now, you explained before, but I missed it. Exactly where is this Lax place?
Well, in DeSoto, Glades, Highlands County, down that way, and we got some hills here in Henry County. But most of it's, I'd say most of it's in Glades County.
Alright.
Yeah. From our kids to LaBelle and back up to down below Sebring. See that territory in there.
Yeah. Now, how long did you work for them?
12 years.
That's before you came up here?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I tell you, we had cattle down there and I worked with them. Well, we just took care of our cattle. And when I was out of school, I worked summertime there and took care of our cattle.
Yeah.
And then I went down and I went to work for them and became foreman out of them. We worked for them the 20th of November, 1935, I left them.
That thing, what about the Seminole? Are they good ranchers?
Well, they get along, they do all right. Of course, some Hackman always supervised it.
Really?
Supervisor. I think a fellow named Manns down there now, and Fred Marstick was there for years, and Buck Holmes was there one time, and they always had a white man ahead of it.
Did the Seminole, did they work cattle a little different than the white men did?
Well, they were working black. But when the started, they did, and right on just like right now, they just improved like everybody else had.
How did they do things different?
They don't do it different. They
about
the same, yeah.
Yeah.
Huh. Well, I'm in the smile on the other one, and somebody asked one of them about it one time and said what the hell did they mean? So this cow had too many cows. Well, small women get the old man's calf, you know. Yeah. But that was getting the most cows was a good cowman. He knew how to handle them. He worked with white people.
Yeah. Because there must have been a lot of Seminole down there in that part of the country.
Well, I don't know how many wars. There's not too many in population.
Yeah.
They got ranch like the Big Cypress and one down here at Brighton. The other one on the East Coast, they got a, what do you call it, a gambling place or something where you read about one night.
Well, what did y'all, when y'all were out at these cow camps, what did you eat?
Well, we eat beef all the time. We kill beef and eat beef all the time. And Max, no one will spread your friends on a lot of extra stuff. We just eat very kind of substantial food, I'd say.
Yeah. So if y'all got, what beef would you just pick? Any beef at random, or would you pick
any? Yeah, we'd pick a fat roll or something.
Just go ahead. How long would that last a crew?
Well, we saw it and dried it, and just told how big the crew was and how big the animal was. We kill it and saw it down and hang it up and dry it and blow smoke on it to keep the flour off of it to dry it. Then we eat that dried beef and boil it and figure it out and barbecue it by the fire for dinner. We're going to kill our dinner out and stick it up by the fire and barbecue it. And
so you'd boil it before you'd barbecue it?
No, it wouldn't. Throw it out of the well and barbecue it. Yeah.
Well, I'll be.
Yeah.
Well, it's about time for you to go on your round.
No, I've got 15 more minutes. I'll make it. Yeah, I'll tell you. That well gets out of school at 2 o'clock. Yeah, I got to go to Lake Willow.
Yeah. Trying to think of something.
Where are you going? Sebring or what?
No, White Spring.
What is White Spring? That's your car?
No, that's a rental car.
Oh,
truck.
Yeah, yeah. White Spring, let's see. That's close to Gainesville, isn't it?
Yeah, north of Gainesville. It's just north of Lake City.
North of Lake City, oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Yes,
just about the next to the last town before you hit Georgia.
Yeah. Yeah, I've been through Lake City. But
yeah.
I left the University of Florida in 1923
around the year. Did you? Yeah.
1,400 students over there.
1,400 students?
Yeah.
Boy, that's nothing now.
Fellow Ryan was there, he became governor over there. He told him he was going to be governor one day.
Shoot. How has the citrus business affected ranching?
Well, it's took up a lot of ranch land, but and subdivisions took up some of it too, but there's a lot of ranch land left yet.
Yeah. Pretty wide open to get out of
there. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. You gonna be back around this country any time, or?
Well, I don't know. I expect I will be.
Yeah? I'm not doing anything until I pick that child up from school and carry him home, carry her to school some morning. She lives out from Lake Willow.
Well, see, what I'm doing down here now.
Poverty used to be the worst enemy of the animal cattle in this country, poverty.
How's that?
Starved to death in the wintertime.
The cattle would?
Yeah, back in this open range, dude. If we had to make it, nobody fed the cattle at all anymore. And a lot of them don't feed them yet like it should be.
Hmm. Well, when did the fences come in this country?
Around about 47. And Fuller Warren was born. He came off the highway.
So it was open range, you
know? Yeah, yes, sir. So
what would you do with all the other people's cattle that got in with yours?
Well, whoever had the most, John would run a crib, he'd walk down the road by his cows and hold up a little steers for them. And they got all out in the old woods down there, and that was built up pretty much.
Yeah.
Hmm. Back over where I was old, in the middle, my uncle ran a crib there, first for High Moon, and then for Snook Skipper, and up above out the Goblins, and down below out the East Coast Cattle Company. There was no cow stealing back since I can remember the mouth or nothing.
Hmm.
Not bad. Down in that Henry County, good book went on by another one about in the 18s, around about 1918 or there.
Yeah.
But they killed them for markets. They didn't drive them off somewhere and sell them.
Yeah.
But they used to go back before I come along, have that out in this country, I understand.
Huh. Well, where were you raised?
Not by the Rocks in the River, by the Rocks in the River down here. Nickel Bluff and raised in Osceola and Okeechobee counties. That's just across the river.
Yeah. So So you've been in this country 3 years.
Very soon. I got a history in there that I didn't write it. A couple of them were written. I'll tell you. Sam King and Buck Nine. Sam King and Buck Nine put that rile up in there.
How do you pronounce that word? Michael Bluff?
Mick Mickle. And that's what the English name is Mickle. All
right. I've got to get that book. Kissimmee Island.
Yeah. You wild west right now, and she, it comes out, I'll get a hold of you.
I'll get a hold of her pretty quick, I think. If I can get, if she's in the, let's see, I wrote down her address, didn't I? What was the name of where she lived?
Hatchley Hall.
Hatchley Hall.
Yeah, Hatchley Hall. I'll tell you, you get a wild west and I'll get a wild west and north for you.
Or how
long are we going to be down here this time?
I got to go back tomorrow morning.
Yeah, man.
I got to go down to Avon Park this afternoon.
That one?
I've got to have my...
Yeah, that's this is the name, right?
Yeah.
And this is what I guess will get you.
Right.
Let's see. I know a telephone number. I believe. 439. 4351. That's the Ames City.
Alright.
But you'd have to, well, I guess I'd be, you'd have to have, but I'm going to do those objects and need it to you.
Alright.
Well,
alright.
She's a very sensible woman.
Well, she sounds like it. She sounds like she's done a good job in that book.
She's got several pictures of her.
Oh, yeah?
Well, now we'll try with one of them. Now, these, most of these pictures are way back to the 10th century, and some of them before.
Yeah.
That's what most of them. Well, I've seen people I know, and those were some of them. Well, the boy was sure from Bill's time and Bill was 20th last month.
I'll be done.
41 years old. That's his sister and all that. And that's his wife.
41.
Yeah. Good man, too, but he died with cancer. And by the time he went in the office 3 years ago, a little boy died with cancer. 9 years old.
That's tough.
He's a good man. And he's old by his brothers, too. I both knew he was by his brothers.
Yeah.
I know a whole generation of them. I just, those are the rules.
Yeah.
And I wrote the books about them. I'll find her just a minute for a minute. There she is, and I wrote the book.
Yeah.
That's her. There she is again. There she is again. Yeah, there's her and her husband. But she don't look this good now, she broke some.
Did you break your own horses?
I didn't, but... No, we used to buy most of them, but... That Max Rice really most of them, but we got somebody to break them.
Somebody come in and do it special?
Well, when they broke that Selby place, they raised them all around, and here it was, I broke them. We had somebody, I think we knew out yet.
So...
Get somebody to come in and break them,
yeah. That was somebody's special job.
Oh, it's a little loud worth more something else than to make a wild horse. So I thought before I get in the wild, I'd get in something else.
Yeah.
I've seen all the radio.
Yeah.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
That'd be a tough job for somebody, wouldn't it?
Yes, sir. If you come back by us one night, contact me, I'll be right over.
All right. Well,
and
I know your phone number. I know your address. And Silver Lake, isn't that where it is?
Well, box 405. You got my box on them?
Let me make sure I got it.
Yes, sir.
I got it. I'll write it right here.
Douglas Thompson. Yeah, Douglas Thompson.
Alright.
Box 405.
Alright.
Crossroads Flyer. CC 843.
Okay.
Yes. 635-3274. And then the other time I wouldn't be busy, but right now I wouldn't.
Sure.
Yes, sir.
Well, I for sure want to come back down.
Well,
when I know more and when I can talk a little more specifically about
anything pertains to push you or come back to us, and I like you. Well, I just like you.
Well, appreciate it.
Yes.
I'm interested in the way you learn to do things.
Yeah.
That's one thing, you know. Like,
how you learn to cut out camera, how you learn
to do all these things. And that's something, you know, I need to be around a little bit
more. Yeah,
to see it and watch it. And watch
well, it. That's a little while, Yeah. When I was a little old man come by the house and stopped over my little bus, and he told his grandmother, another wild when I was 10 years old, I was in the ground, so I know who had a cowboy for a while.
But you did.
I went off a little wild one.
Yeah.
Yes. I liked it.
Yeah.
I liked it.
Well, you wouldn't have done it that long.
That's right.
Well, let me get out of here then. You probably need to get gone.
Well, I have to go up and pick that boy up.
I want to say today is December 8th, 1983,
mm-hmm.
And I've been talking to Douglas Thompson down here, sitting in the car right across from the Maxi Foundation Incorporated.
Yeah.
And it's about a little after noon, about lunchtime, about one.
Yeah.
Let's go get some beans.
How about those?